Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Right, welcome to this week's Snogcast. As always, you are joined by the two boys, Owen and DJ. I'm after having a pile of espresso martinis before I'm after hitting this one, so I'm raring to go.
DJ, over the night now.
Over the night, yeah. DJ, how are you getting on?
It's going to be a long podcast because I won't want to sleep a wink. We'll have to keep them entertained for the night. How am I getting on? Good. Good, yeah. We're recording this over the Easter weekend, I think. It'll be coming out a bit a week afterwards. But so it's been, yeah, it's grand. We're recording this on a Saturday night, so like two more days off work after this. So I'm in great form.
It's heaven. Sucking. Sun's out, guns out, cans are out. It's so good.
Actually, I was doing some housework earlier. Like, we're doing a few repairs around the house, like putting the table back together, cutting the grass, bit gardening. And like, you know, it was blaring sun. I was sweating bullets. And like, I was tearing into it so much. Like, the missus came out and offered me a can of beer in the middle of the day. Like, so doesn't get much better. Like, in honor of that, I'm wearing a leash top just to like show my gratitude to Niamh. So it's been a great day so far. And topping it off with a few cans with the boys. So doesn't get much better.
Actually,
who's the most famous person from Leash? Or like, well, who's there? Do you know, like, they're claim to
Claire Byrne.
All right, yeah, Claire Byrne. Actually, be a fairly, yeah.
I explained a lot.
Yeah. Actually, Today FM had a thing on who's your most famous person in your county. And Claire Byrne was most famous in Leash, that was voted upon. John Milan was the most famous from Waterford.
I love how John Milan wins, yet John O'Shea nutmegged Figo. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, but did he say I love me county? Yeah,
he doesn't love his country though.
He should have said that after the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Kira had a great burn on Leash there during the week in work. She was telling me the story. She was saying that you know, with the 20K lift being lifted, the inter-county being lifted on the 12th of April, that people are going to be able to travel anywhere in their county or 20 kilometers if they're living kind of on the border or whatever. So one of the girls in work said to her, oh, geez, it's going to be great now, like the 12th of April. I can't wait. Like, you know, it's going to be great to be traveling anywhere in your county. And Kira said to her, I don't know what you're excited about. You're from Leash. I was like, she told me that when I went home, and she was like, yes, Kira, one of us, Leash.
I'll never say that in my house.
And the other voice on the podcast is Tommy Keary, host of the Irish Design Podcast and proprietor of Antique Ireland. How are you getting on, Tommy?
Yeah, Grant, thanks. Not too bad.
And local divil.
Yeah. Up to no good.
Yeah.
It was very conscious to say all the things he can't say on the Instagram live at the Antiques Ireland.
Yeah.
Tommy had a great so you should definitely follow Tommy, even though he has way too many followers, even as is. What are you on now? 12,000, is it? Antiques
Dog? Something like that, yeah.
Tommy does a Thursday Night Live where he kind of gives a run through of pieces that are coming up in the next auction, or just pieces that they have in the shop. It's so good, like especially now where people can't go into shops, like, you know, and see things, like, you know. Tommy did one there on Thursday. It was perfect. It was so good. But like, just the end of it, Tommy goes, you know, and it's goodbye from me. And then
showed the statues.
Snow the holy statues around them.
And it was Holy Thursday as well. I didn't even cop it until I was just.
The whole thing finished. It was fucking ideal. It was so funny. Yeah, definitely go follow Tommy on Instagram.
I'd say like there's great opportunity for a few practical jokes, Tommy, around the antique rooms these days. Like, you know, especially around Easter time. Like, would you not to your father like say all the Jesus statues have gone missing like on Good Friday, and then like they magically reappear Monday.
I was thinking about doing something like that, you know, just something like, you know, that he was missing someone, like, because it was around April Fool's Day and everything, do you know what I mean? But then I was like, oh gee, I'd probably get in trouble.
Yeah, I know. It only takes one sour person, doesn't it, like that.
And
as well, what I love about the Instagram lives are like, anytime I get to go into the antiques room, there's always great pub stuff in there, like some fantastic memorabilia and pub equipment.
And actually this morning we actually got word that we're having a pub auction in May, hopefully. So
brilliant,
some nice signs and stuff.
Is that a clear out,
announced in due course?
Is that
clear out? So
we just got an exclusive there. Yeah. Snowcast exclusive.
Yeah, exclusive. I can't say the name of the place, but yeah, it will be a pub that sadly won't be a pub actually. So there you go. Sign of the times.
How does it feel, Tommy, having kitted out every shebeen during this lockdown in the country?
Yeah, it's the only thing keeping us going. It's lads building sheds, just drinking themselves away in them.
Tommy's the Jeff Bezos of antiques, the man making a big profit in the lockdown, selling all the shebeens.
Again, we haven't planned with our guest what we're drinking. So, as we've been doing now for the last, I think this is our fourth week doing it, we're on the prowl for a replacement of our glorious Puck Pilsner. So, we've been drinking Pilsners over the last few weeks, and we've been rating them on this ridiculous scale. So, this week, sorry, Tommy, you're going to have to just bear with us for a while there, because we're drinking Keller Beer by Yellow Belly. And we're just trying to see how does this bad boy match up against the glorious Puck Pilsner. So, DJ, have you had it there, yeah?
Yeah, I have. I've actually finished it. I'm on to it. I'm actually drinking. I've moved on to a previous feature on the Pilsner Prowl.
Don't confuse your Pilsner taste buds.
I'm not. I'm crystal clear in my head what I've drank. And as well, like, I'm quite familiar with Keller Beer, because it's something that I've often gone to in Grady's Yard when they were doing the burgers and that, back when pubs were open. A delightful beer. And I think, like, you know, some of the purists out there might say, hold on, that's a Helles Lager, what are you doing? That's not a Pilsner. So I did a bit of research today thinking, right, we're going to cause a bit of a stir now amongst some of the purists. I was like, right, we need to figure this out. They do use Pilsner malt in making the Helles Lager, and according to some very reputable websites, Pilsners and Helles Lagers are very, very close. They're pretty much the same. Like, Helles Lagers are just supposed to be that bit lighter and less spicy, was a lot of the phrases. Now, I wouldn't associate spice with Pilsners, but there is, they do have that kind of joie de vivre about them, you know, that kind of Quelque chose, you know, which it is distinctive. So I again, similar to actually the Trinity Pilsner that we drank the last time, I'd be interested to see how that compares when we're trying to basically match it up against the Great Puck Pilsner on what is one of the great genius scoring tools of our times. And a tool that has a lot of the tongues of Irish beer Twitter wagging at the moment. So we're very happy with some of the feedback.
Tommy, have you ever had it, the Keller beer from Yellow Belly?
Yeah, I had it one night in Grady's Yard.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, they have it on top there. Yeah, it's nice. A classic lager.
It's not too strong, do you know? Yeah.
No, it's definitely not. No. But
it's 4.3%. Like, you know, so it's very comparable with like the kind of more mainstream kind of macro lagers, you know. So it's, I think, like the guys in Yellow Belly often have described it as like a gateway craft beer, which I think is a great way of looking at it. Like that sums it up to me. Like it's like, oh, you like, you know, X, Y, or Z, then try this. It's you know, very comparable. So there's a great familiarity with it. Like,
yeah. Right. So without further ado, then let's get on to our scoring. So as always, our first category is Ghoul and Jig. Right? How does it get the shoulders going? Do you know? Does it? If you were in work now, or you know, ready for the weekend, this long bank holiday weekend now, right? Would you be going?
Yeah. So like the Ghoul and Jig is kind of like the kind of the rocket under your arse, isn't it? Like, you know, it's the
It's the anticipation for it, you know.
I'm going to be very interested in what you make of this, because I find, right, I really like this beer, and I think it has strengths in certain categories, but it has weaknesses, and I think the Ghoul and Jig is one of its weaknesses, because it doesn't actually, to me, like, it doesn't get me going to go out. It actually settles me down. It does the opposite. Like, it almost relaxes the Ghoul and, like, you know, it just like settles me down into a couch or into a chair, and there's no going me then, like, I'm settled, you know.
Right. Now, I would have taken a different approach. I would have scored this quite high in the Ghoul and Jig, like, you know. But I might be hampered by the fact that I've had a few espresso martinis.
I think all the caffeine that you've had, your Ghoul and Jig. You fucking have flatleys for Ghoul and Jig, like, you know. Michael Flatley's feet on your shoulders.
Yeah.
By the time you're not going with them, with the caffeine you've had,
so maybe I'll trust you for this, because this is literally this should nearly be scored on a caffeine scale, like this one, you know, like how far you're kind of geared up to go, like, you know. So I'll hold you to this one. So the Eucharius Pils that we drank last week. Oh shit, which I meant to drink as well this week. I'll whip that one up next. We gave that one the top score of 5 for 16. So what are you thinking of giving this one?
You see, this is a difficult one to score, because the units that we use make no sense whatsoever.
Like, no, not at all.
So I want to emphasize that it's a really good beer, but it doesn't get the Ghoulens jigging.
Yeah.
So if 5 for 16 is about 320 a can,
yeah,
it's exactly 320 a can. I'm going to say 1 for 320.
Okay.
I think it's just as quality a beer, but it is no impact on the Ghoulens.
Right, 1 for 320. So the audio visual lager we gave 1 for 280. Yeah. Oh, no, I gave that 1 for 280, wasn't it? Yeah.
So if that was as bad as you said it was,
yeah.
Maybe you were generous to it there. but still though, I think Keller beer is a great beer, just doesn't get the Ghoulens going. So it should score low on the Ghoulens jig, but I think it'll redeem itself in later categories.
Okay. That sounds good. So the next one then is the Quivering Quencher. right? So your lips are absolutely quivering after a tough day or out mucking out stables or mucking out whatever else. you need to quench that lip. Quench that quiver.
Part-time farmers. This is a part-time stable hand, is it?
Yeah, yeah. He's off trying to find a fair maiden.
Yeah.
And he's an apothecary in the morning and a farmhand in the afternoons. So we're talking about the quiver and quencher, which is the inverse Richter scale, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
So we're talking about 9 trillion tons of dynamite being... 30 trillion tons of dynamite being a 9.
You say any figure whatsoever, like.
Changes every week. So, Owen, do you have the spreadsheet open there, handy?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So what did we give the other bears, just for a quick recap?
So Eucarious Pills last week gave a 5.9, Audiovisual Lager a 0.5, Trinity Pilsner 1.7, Tull 6 and Bohemian Pilsner 3.9. So the Tull was the top quencher so far.
Yeah. So I think maybe there's a bit of bias in this because I've had Killer Beer on draft in the past, to my delight, and I'm inclined to not give it a. I don't think it matches Tuula.
Yeah,
it's up there. It's up there. I'd give it a 5.5. I think because it definitely quenches.
Yeah, I'd say so as well. And I think we're basing this off cans as well.
Yeah.
So like the draft of this, I'd say would give like a 7 or a 7.5. Yeah. Like, you know,
but we have to calibrate it for the cans because we haven't had a draft of Tuula either. Like, you know, so
calibrate it.
Yeah, exactly. The calibration is key. So I think a 5.5 is about right. I think it's just below the Eucarious Pills and the Tuula in terms of quenching, but still very, very good score.
Savage. So then our third category then is the post-pint gasp. So that kind of that aftertaste, that lovely, you know, sense of satisfaction after you've had a sip of this.
So this is a really strong point for this beer because it's a Helles Lager, it's a bit lighter than a Pilsner. So it has that beautiful like Christmas, like that absolute like, you know, solubility about it, like so I'd be willing to go full whack with this with a Das Bass,
just like to all Das Bass. Yeah, yeah. I'd 100% agree with that. Like
I think that's the highlight of the beer is that it's so light and crisp and refreshing.
Yeah so the next category then is just the Jibiver, right? So like, it's hard to kind of like break this down, this category, but I kind of think it's like all the other factors that go into it, like, you know, how well it pours, how well it looks, you know, just the fucking Jibiver, you know what I mean? And we've just rated this out of 5. So,
Oh, sorry, I was blowing my nose.
You what?
I was blowing my nose. What did you say?
So this category then is the Jibiver.
Yeah, yeah, I got that much.
So yeah, just ranking out of 5, what's the just like all the other factors that are associated with this beer.
Yeah, so it's like the presentation really, isn't it? Like, you know,
yeah.
And again, I suppose there's probably a bit of bias in this and thinking about a cool, cold,
dripping condensation.
Lihal poured it and he's done a little bit of overfill by accident because he's too busy talking about the League of Ireland test. So there's just that little...
And he's licking the overfill off his fingers and, oh God.
Yeah, there's a condensation on the glass as you pick it up and carry it to the table and it's cold in your hand and you're...
But you need to take that out of it.
I need to remove that. But even out of the can, there's a lovely head on her. There's great carbonation. She's cool and crisp. I'd go for four jibs.
Four jibs, same as Eucarius pills. Yeah. I'd agree with that. Yep. And then finally, the puckability of this bad boy. What is this Keller beer like in comparison with the one and only Puck Pilsner?
So I'm completely flummoxed by this. I genuinely like having a clue, because you know my feeling about Puck Pilsner and the puckability, and like ultimately this is it's almost unquantifiable, and we're trying to quantify the unquantifiable. We're trying to score the essence of the je ne sais quoi that quelque chose that qu'est-ce que c'est, comment ça va, like that comme si comme ça, la vie en prost, kind of like, I just don't know how you do that with this. And I think it's something you can apply to any style of beer as well, in terms of the thought process around it. And I ultimately, pokeability is that ability to be the beer that you go for. If you had every beer available to you and you wanted to drink several pints of something there and then, have a good conversation, that's what you're going to go for.
Yeah.
And
a few games of pool, which, you know what I mean? Like,
few games of pool, have a chat, create a podcast concept and follow
through with it, yeah.
You know, live your life through this beer. And part of me thinks that, like, you know, it's a very, very good beer, but it doesn't have any of that.
Yeah. I suppose, thinking back as well, like, to when we first started off the podcast, you know, if we had been going into Philly's and getting these all, you know, getting a Keller beer every time we went in, would we have started the podcast? You know, that's what ultimately all boils down to.
The thing is, like, it's an incredibly intelligent beer because it's so similar to macros in a sense, but it does have that differentiation from the macros in it's so crisp. And, you know, you can't drink it at 8 degrees. You can drink it at 8 to 10 degrees and it holds up. It doesn't taste like piss. Like,
is it too much of a bridger to be?
That's Pilsner. What I'm saying. Like, it's not that definitive life changing beer.
Yeah. But having said that, it gives you a bit of that, you know, Le Vie en Prost, you know.
That's just,
you know,
the caffeine going, you know.
No, still going. I have another one.
It does. And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I think it scores really well in some categories and up there with some of the best beers we've had in the last few weeks. But I just think if we're trying to quantify that, you know, that mythical status, that ability to be a life-changing beer, I think it doesn't deliver in that sense. It delivers in many other senses, but not that one.
Right, so out of 100,000.
No, because I've kind of talked it down, but you seem to be eager. So what are you thinking out of 100,000?
I'm thinking 57,014.
Okay, we're quite a bit apart.
Are we?
I was in the 10K region.
Right, we'll split it then. We'll go 30,002.
Yeah.
Just give that a little bit extra. Perfect. We'll save that and we'll just run now and get a little bit of an ad break jotted in here by Acast.
We'll wait Tommy up.
So please enjoy the next 30 seconds of Acast shoving in something that you've searched for on your internet history previously.
I'm sure your wife.
Yeah, goodbye. Right, we're back in the room, and actually, as we had said last week, because the two of us didn't end up getting a Pilsner that was the same, we said that I drink the Eucarius pills and I wouldn't put DJ through the audio visual lager because it's muck. But I'm just going to quickly run through your scores there last week, DJ, right? So last week you gave Eucarious pills, 5 for 16, and I totally agree. It's fucking savage. Like, you get on the Goulden jig, like, I've only just tasted it, and it's, you know, and it's gotten me nearly more wired than the espresso martini. So I'm gonna have to calm down after this. I have a stout or something. Quiver and Quencher gave her a 5.9 on the Richter, and yeah. Totally agree with that as well. I think it wasn't as much as the Tull, that you, the Tull was a 6 and you gave this a 5.9. And yeah, I don't know. Do I agree? Is this more of a quencher? It's good. I might have to review this in a bit.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're thinking about reviewing it and you've already had cans and espresso martinis.
Yeah.
Like, imagine the impact of having nothing.
Yeah, if it's quenching both of those quivers. The post point gasp you gave it, that's Bass. And I'd agree, like, there is I think definitely this has the taste up front, doesn't it? But it's definitely there's definitely a taste of more of it.
Like a bad fart, it follows through.
It follows through, yeah. So yeah, there's definitely a taste of more of it. Meaning that I always think this, like, if you ever say there's something, like, there's a taste of more of something, it means that the taste doesn't come out the end, because you kind of need more of it in order to get that taste keeping going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's like, as soon as you put the glass down from the sip, yeah, you're going straight back. Like,
so you'd be necking it, yeah. So yeah, I'd agree with your one off the full that's Bass scoring. Jibber gave a 4. I'm not going to comment on that. That's sure. That's just whatever. And finally, Puckability, 80,001. And we were talking about this on the break there, and it is 100%. It has that bit of puck about it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's a big contender. We actually said during the break, like, would Tom get it into the fridge and Phil Grimes when he opens up again? Like, you know.
Yeah.
It'd do well.
So 80,001, yeah, it's going to be hard to beat that.
Going to be a special beer.
Yeah, to beat that bastard. So now on to our topic of the show. So before we came on there tonight, for the 2 hours before I came on, I was sitting down and I was watching a cult classic Irish film. Can you guess what it is? Something to do with the topic of the show. Well,
The Snapper, no?
No.
War of the Buttons?
No.
Angela's Ashes?
No, I was watching The General.
Oh,
brilliant.
Yeah, great. So, Martin Cahill, who had a nickname, we're going to go through tonight and talk about some nicknames that we've heard throughout the years, and we'll just have a chat and see can we make each other laugh, basically.
Do you know what I'm going to say straight off, like. For anyone unfamiliar with who Martin Cahill is, like, The General, don't look him up. Just nicknames, yeah. Like, when you say nicknames, like, you know, obviously there's celebrities with nicknames, but we're talking about childhood nicknames, like nicknames of people that were involved in your life that you knew. And like, for me, straight away, the thing that came to mind is when I started secondary school, every teacher in the school had a nickname that they were known by. So it actually to the point where first years would come into the school and they know a teacher by their nickname, and if someone mentioned the teacher's actual name, they'd kind of be puzzled, like, who are you talking about?
Yeah.
So there were some great teachers' nicknames. So I think I might just I'll kick it off with one just to start off, and we might go around and talk about different nicknames as we go in.
Yeah.
There was one that I never understood. I never knew the where it came from. But it made a lot of sense if you knew the man. Our vice principal was like a complete strict disciplinarian. And when I think back on it now, when I look back, he reminds me an awful lot of Eamon De Valera. Really tall, really slim, and had like a long nose. And he was actually, do you know what? Like he was this like enforcer in school. But when you left the school and you actually, I met him outside of school several times after I left school. And he was like, a truly lovely man outside of school. But when you were a student...
Asking you to vote Fianna Fáil, was he?
Yeah. He was at every funeral in the parish. but in school, like, you know, you'd be brick, like you'd be terrified of him. And as well, he had this... he used to wear this suit, but it was almost like it was too big for him. So he had... It was almost... So when we were in first year in school, the first Harry Potter film came out. So he had this Severus Snape kind of aura about him. Like when I was in transition year, we were in a room that basically, it was like this mad room where like the bottom half of the walls were just this, were like, you know, the blocks, but the top half of the walls were windows.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like you could see everything that was going on in the corridor. But he used to almost like, the way he walked, it was like he was floating past the window, like Severus Snape hovering, like, you know.
Mr. Potter.
And he had these catchphrases as well. So like the Irish for a penalty is a penos. The way he used to come in, like he'd barge in and like, he came in one day and there was a guy in my class who used to drive me mad. His name actually was Garrett Hutchinson. So his nickname naturally was the Hutch.
Oh yeah,
but this as a vice principal whose nickname, by the way, was Johnny Bogue, which I don't know where it came from. That's just what he was known as.
What is it?
Johnny Bogue.
Johnny Bogue.
And his name was Tony.
It was like a cartoon character.
Yeah, it actually sounds like it. But it was Johnny Bogue or Johnny the Bug, depending on who you spoke to. But I was tasked with one of the teachers of sweeping up the classroom one day because it was filthy. This is at the end of the school day. And the Hutch, I think he threw a book at me or something. So I turned around and lettered him with the brush just as Johnny the Bug walked in. And he just snapped his finger. He was like, "Bernock, I'll slap a hefty penis down on top of you like you won't, like it's never hit you before," like, or something like that. The way he used to just like say these phrases and he'd jitter between Irish and English, like.
Like slapping a hefty penis doesn't sound
like, and the thing was, like, you know, it's just like some of the things that he'd come out with, like, you'd be like, you know, sometimes he'd substitute in. He was a full time vice principal, he wasn't a teaching vice principal, but he'd sub in. He used to teach Irish and maths before he became the full time vice principal. So sometimes he'd sub our Irish classes, and if someone was talking, like, he'd just like slap the desk and he'd be like, "Oh, Marco, I'll give you a long, hard penis to think about all night." Man, will you listen to yourself? Like, he purely meant it innocently, as in, like, he's going to give you, like, fucking an essay to write or something, you know?
It reminds me of Charles Boyle in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like,
yeah, oh my God, like...
Phrasing.
Like, imagine Eamon De Valera, but as Charles Boyle, like, you know?
Oh my God, that's so good, like... You know, like you were saying that he's like a full-time vice principal, like, what would they be at? What, like, what would they actually be doing, like, you know?
Handy number, I'd say.
Yeah.
And like up until like the school I went, secondary school I went to, was quite small and it grew really rapidly while I was there. So it got like a load of funding and built a new school building then. And all of a sudden, like the numbers tripled from like, there was like 102 pupils when I started first year to like, you know, 300-400 by the time I was in sixth year. And I think there's about 700 there now.
Mm.
So like he was the official guidance counselor as well. So like he spent a lot of time in fifth and sixth years going through their university.
Just penos after penos after penos.
Yeah. And he as well, like, I think, said I went to school in a quite a disadvantaged area in Cork City. So like he did an awful lot in terms of like getting people scholarships or grants and stuff like that. So I'd say, like, in fairness to him, I'd say he earned his money, you know?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And I know there was a lot of, like, you know, he used to have to do a lot of work with people if they wanted to go to college outside of, say, Cork, to make sure that they could afford to move away and stuff like that, because it was a kind of really working class area. But like, he used to have these kind of Johnny Buggisms that were just, they were quality if you were a 16-year-old fella, like, you know.
Yeah. Me and Tommy went to the same secondary school. Tommy, you might be able to help me out with a few of these, like, but one of the teachers that we had there was Furry Murray. So it was Mr. Murray was known as Furry Murray, and it was the only dealings I ever had.
He used to have a good head of hair, wasn't he?
He used to have like this afro kind of, like, it was like an afro in the terms of a white person having curly hair. Do you know what I mean?
Are you talking about Bob Ross, like?
Exactly. But not even to a Bob Ross extent. Like, it was more, or it's like, you know, it's just like kind of like long, you know, medium length curly hair, you know. But yeah, he was known as Furry Murray for that regard. And the only dealings I ever had with Furry Murray was in transition year. You just take like random subjects and stuff in transition year, and he was teaching Spanish for some reason. Like, I don't know where he learned Spanish from or anything. Like, did he?
Because it wasn't taught in the school, only in fourth year.
Yeah, exactly. It was just one of these like experiential things, like of trying to learn different subjects or whatever. But like, he was landed with this role. But like, the big thing was that you'd go into the class and you just go, "No tengo libro," I don't have my book. And then, like, just do fuck all then for the whole thing. That was just the extent of what I learned in Spanish as well. No tengo libro, and you just stop then for an hour. But yeah, that was
hard. So is that what you used to see when you were kind of going around South America? Was it?
Yeah. No tengo libro. That was it. That was the extent of it. Like,
you just getting on a bus.
No tengo libro. Tommy, do you have any other ones from school there?
I suppose one I could think of would be Chainsaw Billy.
He
was a woodwork teacher. Yeah, he was quite a character. He used to, I remember I had issues with my eyesight, and he used to be writing stuff up on the board or something. Remember that we'd have to write notes, and he'd often say, I'd ask him, "Sorry, what's the last two words there?" It was a really long board, you know, and it was a really big classroom because it was for woodwork, you know, so it's real spaced out.
Yeah.
And he used to always make jokes about my eyesight, saying, "Call me Mr. Squinty," you know.
He was giving you a nickname.
Yeah. And then what else? There was another lad who used to always ask a lot of questions, and he used to call him Hitler because he used to always have the hand up. He used to call him Heil Hitler. Heil Hitler used to say.
Oh my God. Oh, that's absolutely scandalous, isn't it? Like, do you know, like.
Or was another, I always remember this one liner he used to always have. Like, if someone used to say, like, he'd be going around, like, checking on lads, you know, if they're doing their work. And one fella said, sir, I'm actually stuck. And he said, one second, I'll go get the tractor. Do you know? It's just like he's really witty, just fucking one liners.
Like, the amount, over the years, I'd say, like, lads in school just do the same thing over and over again. Like, everyone just says the same shit every year. And, like, these lads just have, like, practice, like, over and over. But it's so funny the way, like, you know, it comes from both ends of, like, you know, you'd say how much of, you know, reflecting back on our practices and, like, some of the nicknames that we would have given people and stuff like that, where you're just like, Jesus, you couldn't be saying, like, something like that now. Or, you know, like, you know, when you're thinking back on you as an adolescent and you're like, oh, fuck's sake, like, you know, that was just pure mean, or that was, like, bullying, giving a name like that to someone, like, you know. And same with, like, stuff that you would have been said about you as well. You're like, you know, you laugh it off the time, but it's just like pure bullying. But then you're like, Jesus Christ, the fucking teachers were contributing to it as well.
Yeah. You couldn't get away with it now, I'd say.
No.
there was a few bad ones in our school that way. Like, there was a really short guy a couple of years ahead of me in school. I can't remember his name, but you know, he was quite short. Like, not dwarfism now, but, like, you know, just incredibly short. In, like, fifth and sixth class, or fifth and sixth year, he looked like a first year. Like, and I hear a story one day about the maths teacher, the honors maths teacher, when he walked in, was like, well, here he comes now, the walking sack, because, like, his school bag, just, like, when he was walking along.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, shocking stuff, like, you know, absolutely shocking stuff.
And, like, that's so bad, like, you know, because, like, like, you're just going to have lads just jump on top of that, like, you know?
Big time. But what, there was an incident in our school that really kind of hit home, that the teachers were fully aware of their nicknames. One day, so we had an accounting teacher whose nickname was Stan, because, and he didn't look at all like them, but someone... This is pre us going to the school, and the nickname carried forward. But someone said one day he looked like Steve Staunton, the Irish football player.
What an honor.
Yeah, but, like, Steve Staunton, like, the only thing that they had in common was red hair. Like, Steve Staunton's this, like, you know, like 5'10" stocky fella, and, like, Stan the teacher was like 6'2" and, like, really, really thin. Like, you know, the only thing they had in common was red hair. Like, but Stan was very, like you said, Tommy, very witty, very quick. And do you remember those projectors where they used to have the, like, clear thing and then write on markers on the...
Oh, yeah.
Project onto the board behind them.
What are they called again? It's like there's some name on the, like, what you write on.
I can't remember now.
I remember when we were in college, there was one of our chemistry teachers was still using one of those things. And we're just like... Are you fucking, like, serious? Or you're just, like, writing on, like, yeah, you're, like, you're kind of, you're nearly writing on the projector.
Yeah, it projects up. Yeah.
And it projects up, like, and it used to be an absolute nuisance, like, because, like, a lot of the things, like you'd have to be recording the notes yourself during class, and it was just a nuisance, like, I can't remember what they were called, but yeah, anyway, sorry, DJ, yeah.
But yeah, so, like, Stan had the lights off one day, and transparency films, they were called, wasn't it?
I thought there was, like, maybe, like, somebody's name or something on them.
Maybe they had a nickname. But Stan was, we had Stan for accounting, so he used to do out the sheet, you know, like the balance sheets and stuff.
Yeah,
brought him out in this yoke, and he'd have the lights off and everything. So we were there one day, and then there was this guy who used to teach maths and used to teach maths and geography. Now, like, he was my honors maths teacher for Leaving Cert. Fella studied geography in college and just kind of fell into teaching maths. And, like, honest to God, like, was a hilarious but terrible maths teacher, like absolutely useless. But his nickname was Jaws, purely because he had this massive jawline, like huge jawline, and so his nickname was Jaws, and Stan was the accounting teacher. And it turned out, I learned afterwards, that they were actually drinking buddies at the weekend.
Oh.
But Jaws was renowned for lunchtime pints. Like
there was, Jaws, yes.
There's a pub in near the school I went to called the Wolf Tone. And he used to go to the Wolf Tone every Friday, sink 3 pints at lunchtime. That allegedly, I'm going to say now because I don't want to say that. They were the rumors, like, you know. But Jaws came in, like, generally teachers come in with an announcement or they need someone for something, or like half the time it was just muck, like they needed, like, you know, need to change a tire in the car, so they come in and get like a few young lads to come out and do a change for him or whatever. He probably wanted to drive to the Wolf Tone for a few pints. But Stan was there anyway, and Jaws opened the door. And this is how we hit home, that they were fully aware of all the nicknames they had. Stan just ignored him as he opened the door and stood in the door frame and continued on his work. And Jaws didn't interrupt him. And Stan just started going, doo doo, doo doo. And like, it was actually brilliant. It actually kind of, I don't know, everyone got a good laugh out of it, like, you know, and it almost humanized them to a bit, because you know the way teachers, like, you kind of, when you're a student, teachers are almost like, you know, there's this like fucking automatic aggro between you and teachers, like just this, I don't know, especially because at that age you're like rebellious and stuff and they're figures of authority. But it was brilliant, like humanizing for us, like taking the piss out of each other. It was fabulous.
I just think it's always weird reflecting back on like being that age, and like regardless of, like, say, even if you were in sixth year and you were like 17, 18, right? And like, even still, if you had like a substitute teacher coming in who was like only like just out of college, that like still you consider them like, not that you consider them ancient or anything like that, but you definitely just like, it was a total different stage of life that person was at compared to you. Like, even though they're only about like 3 or 4 years older than you at that stage, you know, I just thought it was crazy. Like, you know, like, even like, you know, I know with like, having heard with friends of mine, like going to like parent teacher meetings and stuff like that. And they're like meeting with people who might be in their like 20s or something like that about their, you know, about their kids and stuff. And you're just like, you know, they find it weird now, like, because you would all have always have just associated teachers being like the older adult, you know? Mm.
Or even we had it, like, I don't know if you ever had this, but we had it where, like, you know, there was a guy maybe 2 years ahead of me in school, but I was on the hurling team with him. And like, his dad was the teacher. And like, you had this weird thing where, and his dad had a nickname actually. His dad had this eye twitch, so he was known as Twitch.
Classic.
Who actually was my favorite teacher in my time in the school. Like, I loved him. Like, we got on really, really well. He was a brilliant teacher, but he was also like, when you talk about, you know, you were saying earlier about Chainsaw Billy and his like one liners and his wit. Like, Twitch was a fella that had that kind of, like, you know, acerbic capacity to just fucking cut someone down with one line. I remember a fella one day, like, you know, just coming in without like you said on with the I don't have my book or whatever, like came in with like nothing, like had done nothing, and wasn't great at the subject, could have been chemistry or something. And Twitch just looked at him and said, like, the days of fellas getting off the bus to come into school because it was a warm place are gone, go out and get a job for yourself.
Like, oh my god.
So good, like, he used to always like go into the supply, like he'd come out during the week at Cheltenham and he'd just tell you to do the exam papers and you'd hear him in the supply room like roaring at the horses, like, and then he'd come out and he'd be like, you know, there was this like unspoken rule that like we knew what he was doing and he knew we knew, but nobody said it. And then when we got to the sixth year, we were a bit brave, you know, like we used to go to I think I told a story in the podcast before about going into Hackett's to place a bet with the spare on the Chicken Fillet Roll podcast. Did I mention about the bookies and going in to place the bet and the quality of your lunch depended on the horse race? Like, when I got to kind of fifth or sixth year and we got a bit more braver with them, like I remember one day someone saying to me, "Well, sir, any tips for Cheltenham next week?" And like, the only tip I have for you is keep your money in your pocket. The bookies always win, like, you know, and the same fella, like, be roaring at the horses. And yeah. Like, you'd hear him. And especially when the supply room was at the front of the school. So, like, if you were for some reason outdoors and you were walking past Joe and Cheltenham, like, you'd hear him absolutely roaring at the little, tiny little square television you had in there, like.
That's gas. That's so good. And then what about like friends of yours? Do you have anyone's for friends or even just like lads around the school or anything like?
Go on, Tommy.
Yeah, no. Well, like I've got a few. Like some aren't probably PC anyway, but or safe, but. Like, I have a friend, it's funny, I think it's a real Irish thing, how something just catches on, do you know, it could be something very simple, because, like, he's called Fast Arse, and it's not for any crude way, like, to do with his arse, I think, like, he just walks really fast, and his arse moves really fast in tandem with him walking, and it's just, that just, like, sticks, do you know what I mean, it's just...
I know those kind of like innocent ones are always just very funny as well, like how they just catch on and how like you know it's you know it's probably just like something he was wearing one day or whatever that really like exaggerated the walk or something that like really caught on but yeah I love ones like that.
We had a great one on along those lines, tell me about like just something really innocuous that just stuck. And there was a guy that I went to school with him for, I was in the same class as him for, you know, the whole way through school, what is that, 15-16 years, like, and we played on the same like underage hurling and football teams, and you know, like the senior team got into like the county quarter final one day, so like they organized all the underage teams get on a bus and go to the match. And you know the way 7-8-year-olds are pure stupid, like they'll say or do anything. So for some reason, on the bus on the way to the match, we were this guy suffers from motion sickness, travel sickness. So the entire bus was just chanting, "Mushy peas, mushy peas, mushy peas." And this poor unfortunate fella, because of the motion sickness, got sick into a bag. So like this was maybe age 7, maybe age 8. For as long as I knew him after that, into his adult life, he became known by everyone as Mushy Peas. So, like, he just became known as Mush or Mushy Peas. Like, that was just what he was referred to. Like, secondary school teachers knew him as Mushy Peas. Like, it all spurned from just that one innocuous incident. And, like, is probably still with the poor guy. Like, he was working in a shop, actually, near my grandmother's house about... Six or seven years ago. I went in and I don't know if he's even working there, to just meet him and just like greet him like, "Well, Mushy, how's it going?" Like, you know, just like years later, like I probably would struggle to tell you his surname, but yeah, the nickname stuck.
That's so good. Like what a ridiculous thing to just be known about for, like, you know. I'd hate to have that, like, you know, to have that nickname, just, you know, just, or it's just ridiculous, like, you know, and you can't even fix it. Like, it's so hard to fix a nickname as well. Go on, Tommy.
There was a fellow that used to drink in Catty Barry's, and they used to call him the Bar of Soap. He came in straight, I think he was a painter, but he came in straight after work one day, like he was painting, like I don't know, it was a really hot day, like we spent like absolute shite, and you know, everyone since then is just soap, do you know what I mean, if he's coming in, here's the bar of soap now and all this. Just
I love the way like a nickname is meant to be like a short, you know, a short name. This guy, the like, Bar Soap, big long name, like, yeah. Tommy, me and you have a friend who he's kind of had multiple nicknames over the years, but at one stage he was known as Slab. I'm actually not really sure about the origin of the name, but then it kind of took legs over the years of like, you know, kind of it kept reinvigorating itself. So basically, I remember during school and during college as well, there used to be a thing called the Slab Challenge, which was you had to drink 24 cans in 24 hours.
And mad thinking back.
Yeah, it was mad thinking back on it, like where you just get what, like 24 Fosters or Dutch Gold or something. It was absolutely horrendous. Like, yeah, so this guy ended up getting the name Slab because he couldn't do it. Yeah, like rather than him being like an absolute hero for doing it or whatever was the criteria at the time, like this guy got it because he couldn't do it. And then as well, I think back in primary school as well, I had a teacher back in primary school as well. And again, this was, I think as well that like, you end up being kind of harsher with your nicknames, like the harsher the teacher is with you, you know what I mean? Like, you know, as in like you kind of do it as an insult to them to try and like get back at them for being so strict or whatever it is with you. But we had this woman and I can't remember her name, Mrs. Murphy or something. I think we had her in like maybe fourth class, I think. But I do remember she was from Kerry, and she had quite a large nose. So we used to call her the nose of Tralee. But yeah, so that was always good. Tommy, did you have any other ones for lads around?
It's funny when you say that about the nose. I remember I had another teacher and her first, she had a large nose. And it's funny again, like how things, but I think her first name was Agnes, but it was Agnose. That's you know, it's just so simple.
I know.
I'm trying to think now, like one or two.
It's hard as well. I think like nicknames tend to be, by their nature derogatory, and like you almost kind of
you're nearly ashamed. Like you know not
yeah ish, yeah. Ish. And like you don't tend to see many adults giving each other nicknames. You know what I mean?
Imagine it works like
yeah. That's what I mean. Like you know, like, it tends to be like this juvenile derogatory thing where like you know. You're not as fucking au fait with crushing people's spirits. Like, you know, you don't really give a fuck.
Well, do you know what's interesting as well is that, like, obviously, the older you get as well, that so say for me, from secondary, so my entirety of my secondary school and I'd say like the entirety of college as well, I would have been known as Tab. Just my second name, you know, that would have just been the nickname that would have been bestowed on me. And then for obviously the friends I've retained from that period, Tommy inclusive, would still call me Tab. Whereas, you know, you're not going to go like, hi, my name is Tab. You know what I mean? Like when you're introducing yourself to someone. So then it becomes a kind of a transitionary period of you know being known as your first name or whatever, but still having that kind of like close cohort of people still calling you by a nickname. And like Tab, I was always kind of like very fond of, because it's such a unique surname, and it's, you know, it's quite a short name and stuff as well, like, you know, that it's good to, you know, it's a good name, like, to have, it's a good nickname. But I always felt sorry for the people who their nickname was their last name, but their last name was like a worse, it was a worse like forename than their actual forename. So like, let's say in college, I lived with a guy called Ian Curtis. So his nickname was Curtis, you know, like, and everyone called him Curtis. So what ends up happening then is that, like, because like Curtis is actually a first name, like people assume then that like his name is Curtis, you know. And another, like, actually just before we came on the podcast as well, Kira told me about a friend of her brother's whose name is Owen Neville, but his nickname is Neville, you know. So then like people like are just calling him Neville. So like if you hear that as a third party to that, you assume that his name is Neville.
I think as well, like, even say we work together one, so like if I refer to you as Tab in work, like I get looks, you know. Yeah. New people, so you end up, that you're dead right, like you end up being almost rebranded in the work setting.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so you're like professional you as Owen.
Yeah.
And then messy you as
Tab. Rips off the shirt then.
Yeah.
Like, oh, super
fire around the head, like.
Yeah, like,
you know, it's like 12 o'clock in the day.
you leave and work on a Friday, like taking the belt off as you go out the door. Like,
you know? Yeah. Pants around the ankles.
Yeah. Owen, who? Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know an Owen.
Yeah, that, it's funny. Like, I think, you know, there are some nicknames that go out there. Like, I think I was taught, you know, when you get into like adult nicknames, some adult nicknames are genius, and some are actually quite
functional,
quite descriptive. So I would have gone to the pub with my granduncle quite a bit in, like, you know, South Kilkenny and into New Ross as well, in Wexford with him for pints from time to time. And I remember him describing a nickname to me, telling me the story of a nickname one day, which like has stuck with me ever since, where he was talking about this guy. There were these stories, you know, it's this pure rural Irish bar where stories are being told across the bar. And everyone sits around the bar, as opposed to going and sitting in their own little cliques. Just, it's like this communal pub setting. And John was there one day, and they were telling a story, and they kept talking about this guy, Jimmy the Jeep. And I was like, I turned to John at one stage. I said, like, who the fuck is Jimmy the Jeep? And like his answer was so curt, like, you know, it just, he answered me in 6 words, but like everything about all the stories made sense instantly. The unique affection that people had for this man, and the way the stories were told, and why this guy was instantly a character despite knowing nothing about him, and why he was called Jimmy the Jeep. So I turned to him and I was like, John, who is this man Jimmy the Jeep? Like, and he just looked at me and he said, first traveler to own a Jeep. Like, that was just it, like, you know, it was like, right, I get it now. But like, or like, I love the way, like, in rural Ireland in particular, you get these mad, like, I suppose, rationale for nicknames. So you've, yeah, got Jimmy the Jeep, but there's also a guy there, and for my entire life I thought his name was Jim Peters. I thought Peters was his surname.
Yeah.
But actually his name is Jim Phelan. But there's two Jim Phelans. So his father's name was Peter Phelan. So he just became known as Jim Peters, as in Peter's Jim.
So there's two Jim Phelans in, yeah, this in a village or whatever, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
And one is one to be differentiated from the other, so that he's known around the parish or whatever, is known as Jim Peters, because, yeah, he's Peter's Jim.
And like, but like a lot of places would just say, oh, that's Peter's gym or whatever. But obviously, yeah, as he got older, like this guy is in his 70s now. So like, obviously you can't be still referring to him as Peter's gym. So he's just Jim Peters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And did I ever tell you about the fella that keeps calling me Peter?
No.
In Waterford. Did I not tell you this? No. It's been going on for a few years, but I don't see him as often. But he'd always be like, well, Peter, if I pass him like on the street or whatever. And like I kind of just took no, like, it's grand, like, you know. But it was when we were actually over at a wedding in Rome 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And I was doing a walking tour of the Colosseum, right? Like, you know, and I was with this group, you know, like, and your man was giving the guide, like, the guided tour. And, I was there walking at the thing. And I had, like, it's one of those, like, you know, that they give you, like, the one earpiece.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you could listen. So I was walking, like, and I was kind of at the back of the group. And then at the back, I could hear this Irish accent going, Peter, like, this Waterford accent going, Peter, Peter, Peter. So I was like, is that... So then I looked around and it was your man with his wife. I was like, what am I going to do now? So I kind of walked up to him. And he's like, oh, I can't believe I've met you here, Peter. I can't believe it. This is a small world. This is, oh, I know, yeah, yeah. And then he's just, Peter, this is my wife, Mary. Mary, this is Peter Keary. Do you know Keary's like the antique place? Yeah, Peter. I was like, oh. So I just had to roll with it, you know.
It'd be funny if you had, like, you know the way, like, in walking groups and stuff, sometimes they give you, well, like, a name badge. Yeah. Yeah. You're just covering up, like.
Yeah, no, Mary, I'm a...
It definitely follows the Antiques Ireland on Instagram. Mm. Oh, Mary, Peter's brother Thomas is on.
Yeah.
They're a fucking head off each other. It must be Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking, I think with that story, we'll finish it up for tonight. Thanks a million, everyone, for tuning in as always and for listening to us bullshit on for an hour or so. And if you want to follow us and give us some support, you can reach us on patreon.com/snowcast. You can follow us on Twitter or Instagram. We're also on Facebook, but we hardly ever check it. So Twitter or Instagram, we're at Snowcast on each of those. And you could also drop us an email if you want. We're thesnowcast@gmail.com. For our guest, Tommy, where's the best place for people to tune in and check you?
Best thing would probably go to Antiques Ireland on Instagram and shit. Check me out there.
And you also have
The
Irish Design Podcast as well.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, totally forgot about that.
So it's just the number one home and garden podcast in Ireland.
Yeah, and I had an episode this week, which will be last week, and I have a new episode coming next week as well. So
Good stuff. And DJ, any parting words for the listeners there?
Yeah, send us your nickname stories. I'd love to see people, like, you know, I'd love to see a little Twitter thread of our listeners and their nickname stories. Ones that won't get, like, I don't think we said anything libelous tonight, but, you know, something a bit of a laugh during these times would be good. And also the government in Ireland this week announced that people who are vaccinated can now meet up indoors and stuff like that. So I think, Owen, there's an opportunity there for us now to take advantage of this and hopefully in the next couple of weeks actually record a podcast in person.
Yeah, and if any publicans want to throw us the keys.
I mean, I put it up on Twitter the other night and I think people thought I was joking, but I really wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not looking to pay you as a business. Like, we're not looking for you to function as a pub. We're just looking for you to stock your kegs and for us to just occupy the area just for a period of time. Like, if you just happen to tell us that the back door will be open for a couple of hours, and if we just happen to forget the price of 10 pints each and a carton of bacon fries,
yeah,
and it just happens to be left on.
If that falls onto the counter somehow, then so be it.
Like, so be it. That's life, you know.
Right. Well, with that, we'll say goodnight. Good luck.
Good night.
See you, lads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.